Fan Morning Show brought to you by Guardian Protection, your hometown home and business security company. Jeff Hathorn will be joining us momentarily, our sports director. He's brought to us by Bet365. I said we'd take calls in the last segment, and then I forgot. We got Joe from New Kent, who's been patiently waiting on hold. Good morning, Joe. I guess not all that patiently. Goodbye, Joe.
Bye, Joe.
Now enter Jeff.
Jeff.
Jeff Hathorn joins us right now. Good morning to you, Jeff. How you doing, buddy?
Morning, guys. How are you?
Oh, it's playoff week. Yeah, it is.
Mm-hmm.
And can't you just feel the palpable excitement, Jeff? I mean, Roy Wood Jr. songs playing, Wiz Khalifa, Black and Yellow, that whole thing. People are expecting a parade, no?
Yeah, I don't know if there's ever been this much excitement for the postseason in a long, long time. I mean, confidence-wise, I mean, this fan base, they're ready.
There's so much to unpack with you, Jeff, but let's start right there. It's Tuesday, so subject to change, and we'll see what happens with Zay Flowers, but Steelers are a 10-point dog. How good of a shot do you give them at going in there and actually winning the football game?
Well, you hit on one of the keys right there, Zay Flowers. If Zay Flowers can't go, it does change what Baltimore can do. They don't have that consistent deep threat without Zay Flowers. They've won 8 of 10 against Baltimore, and even in that last game, I know the final score says 17, but it's a 7-point game before the pick six, so it's not like they were out of it. It's not like they were blown out like some of these games we've seen where they've really been out of it from the beginning. This was one they were in it at the end of the game, and, you know, a big mistake cost them in the fourth quarter. I'm not saying they're the better team, but I'm also not going into this game and saying, okay, they've got no chance. Like, they can't match up. I think there's still things that they do well defensively that can help them in this game.
Jeff, who has more pressure to win this game? Russell Wilson, Mike Tomlin, and the Pittsburgh Steelers, or Lamar Jackson, John Harbaugh, and the Baltimore Ravens?
Yeah, I think in this case, I think it's Baltimore. I mean, I know everything that's said here, but you're going in a 10-point dog. Like, I think you could sell the mentality of, I mean, you're going to hear negative stuff all week about how Steelers are the weakest team in the AFC. Baltimore is the best team that's not Kansas City, and the way that they've played, and they've earned that. They've won four straight, and, you know, they blew out Houston, and they beat the Steelers by 17, as the final score would tell you. So, I think it's Baltimore, because now you're starting to look at, it's another MVP season. They haven't gotten over the hump. Like, there's been some early talk in Baltimore. It's like, man, we got Pittsburgh. Like, do we have to have Pittsburgh in this first round of all the teams? So, yeah, I think it's more, especially if the Steelers can get off to a start. And that's been their issue. Their starts have just been horrid.
They've been horrid this year. They've been horrid every time they've taken the field in a playoff game since January 15th, 2007, the last time they won a playoff game. I agree with everything you said, Jeff, and Jeff Hathorn's our guest. I do think the pressure is more on Baltimore. However, is there a chance that this is Russell Wilson's last game in the NFL? Because, you know, I think he could be playing for a job here.
Yes. I mean, yes, there is a chance this could be. I don't think so. I think if it's not the Steelers for some reason, I think he would have an opportunity with somebody. So I don't know if that's the case. But for him, I mean, this whole year has kind of been about redemption. And now these last few games... I don't know. I mean, he masks everything, and I do think he's genuinely a positive guy, but there's got to be somewhere in there where it's like, damn it, some of the things that Denver people said, or, you know, maybe he's starting to hear about. So how is he going to fix it? And, man, getting off to it again, the number's crazy. The last four games, they've been outscored 40-3 in the first quarter. 40-3. I mean, and the play calling is just that they have played not to lose early in games. Handoff, 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 handoff. I mean, get creative. Get aggressive. I realize you want to take the other team. You want to keep Burrow off the field. You want to keep Lamar off the field. Doesn't mean you have to run it every time to
no.
do that.
You just need first downs,
first downs.
Jeff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Jeff, first downs help you in that. And maybe getting aggressive and throwing it early. I mean, it's not like you've got a guy back there that you don't trust. For the most part, he's been really good with the football.
Jeff, you talk about getting creative and getting aggressive on offense, and whether it's Mike Tomlin's handling of the offense, overall handling, or is it Arthur Smith? And let's say it is Arthur Smith and, not getting creative and, kind of being very dry these last four or five games. There's two teams that have called Arthur Smith now. Now there's the Jets that have requested to interview Arthur Smith to be the head coach, and then now there's the Bears, and I'm sure another team will come along as the week does go along. Do you think that's warranted? Do you think that's deserving for Arthur Smith to be, requested to become a potential head coach for another team?
You know how we do these things? If the season ends now, the team would be X. If the season would have ended in early December, absolutely. Because Russell Wilson, this offense, they're rolling. I mean, they kind of turned around what had been a very anemic Pittsburgh offense for the last few years and made it something. Maybe whole body of work, there's something there that people can look at. I don't know the seriousness. I mean, North Carolina came after him too, and he quickly said no. I think it's good that he's getting offers, because that, at least from a step back standpoint, that other people are saying, we think this guy's a good coach. I don't know the seriousness of those offers, but I think it does speak generally, but I would like that guy that's going to potentially get a couple of job interviews to be a lot more aggressive again in this game on Saturday night.
Jeff Hathorn.
And you know what? Yeah. Let me say this. I think some of these problems are rearing their head through different offensive coordinators, which tells you that Mike's telling them, I want to run the ball.
Well, Jeff, I thought the most telling answer, maybe out of any press conference this year, came from Tomlin yesterday, when I can't believe he said the quiet part out loud. There, and I'm paraphrasing, there's less risk running the ball than there is throwing the ball. And this isn't Kenny Pickett. This isn't Mitch Trubisky. This isn't Mason Rudolph. This is a guy who's won a Super Bowl, and you're talking out of both sides of your mouth as the guy who says you can't live in your fears. I can't believe he said that out loud, Jeff.
Yeah, I mean, listen, if you're Philadelphia and you've got that line and Saquon Barkley as your lead tailback, okay, I'm cool with Sirianni saying something like that. I'm cool with Harbaugh saying something like that with Derrick Henry. But you don't have those type of tailbacks with the Steelers. And they don't have the offensive line that's been together for years or has a number of veterans on it. And they've got a young group that's still forming. So, listen, you play this game where you just want to hold on to it and you're playing scared like they've played, it's not going to end well. You got to get creative. I mean, a few of the games they've won, on the first play of the game, they've gone play action. One, they got a pass interference penalty. They got a 41-yard pass to George. They got even a 12-yard pass, I think it was, to Najee. The other ones, Najee's carried it 9 times on the first play of the game this year for 17 yards total.
If you don't laugh, you cry. Mm. Jeff, Mike Tomlin says you can't blink. I mean, has he been asleep since the game on Saturday? He says he didn't see George Pickens try to get into it with a fan. All of us know that's not true. What do we expect from Pickens in this game? Like, for me, and I'm not saying this is definitely the case, but from where I'm sitting, he looked like somebody that, because he wasn't super involved early, became disinterested, disengaged. Is that the feeling there, that they kind of got to coddle this guy to keep him in the thing?
Well, I think from Mike's standpoint, as much as we would love for him to say something, it does him no good.
I agree with that.
George in the public. So you're trying to get ready to win a playoff game by his receiver getting even more, hearing from his head coach something in the media, then I don't think that helps. Internally, they've admitted, I think the routine plays are part of that is at George. I mean, he didn't make routine plays in that game. I think the first drop got in his head as much as not having usage got in his head. And those are things he's got to figure out. I mean, yes, there's some coaching, but a lot of George is like George looking in the mirror and try to fix some of those issues. They need George to win this game. They're going to try everything they can to make sure he's ready. I tell you, for the most part in practices this year, he's been focused and right in. I mean, we watched them all. I mean, he's there. He's running routes. He's running hard. It's just in games, whether it's defensive backs getting in his head, himself getting in his own head, the game plan getting in his head. They even tried, remember early, they tried to get him in with that screen for no gain. So they even tried something, but you got to do more than that. And not just to appease George, but, you know, if he makes a couple of those catches in that game against Cincinnati, those are huge plays. Give him more of those opportunities, then it's up to him to make those plays. Because I think for as much as the players have been patient in a playoff game, if you start acting up or doing that, I think it's a different scenario for how you'll be treated by your peers.
Well, with that being said, Jeff, and say that the Steelers do lose and say George is in his head and he isn't effective at all, do you think that this is the last time we'll see George in a Steelers uniform?
Yeah, it's interesting going into a contract year. I think no. For as much as the emotions are hot right now, I think if they step back and realize how I just don't see it. Again, after the emotions died down and you take a step back, as long as you feel like you could sell him on, man, you've got to have a big year to get that money you want, and in order to have a big year, you need to do this, this, and this, I think we'll see George. Now, long-term deal, I think we're seeing that window closing.
Last thing here for you, Jeff. I thought Mulsey asked a really good question yesterday. So they're going on 8 years without a playoff victory. We'll see how Saturday goes. How long would the stretch have to span for change to come? I mean, does this thing get to 10 years and they just keep trotting Mike Tomlin up to the podium and out onto the sideline? Like, how long can this be acceptable?
Yeah, that's a great question. And now you're even starting to hear some national people kind of realize why Steeler fans are a little upset. I'll say this. Last year, they made some significant changes, not just offensive coordinator and bringing in a guy who was a head coach and had some success, but they wiped out the entire quarterback room trying to find an answer. If I want to see that aggression continue. I it's not going to be Mike. People can say all they want. It's not going to be Tomlin at the end of this year, even if they get their doors blown off in Baltimore. But continue to be aggressive and make more change. Go after Aiyuks. Go after guys with big names. You're going to have some cap room. Spend it on the offense. I'm exaggerating for effect. Don't spend a dime on the defense. Spend the whole damn thing on the offense because you need some help on that side of the ball.
With you on that. Jeff, great stuff as always. What's going on the website right now?
Yeah, look at some of those. There's some of those numbers on there and some of the living in your fears story that's on the website right now. Plus, look at what George's numbers are compared to other receivers in catch percentage. It's nearing Dante-esque. So check out those numbers as well. It's all on the website.
I felt fine until I heard that.
Mm-hmm.
Now I feel like I got that neurovirus that's going around.
But you never know in the postseason, boys. You never know.
Yeah. Well,
that's right. Clean slate.
Mm-hmm.
New start.
I'm sure Thursday we'll all be optimistic.
Flip the switch. Dom DiTomaso, who's producing the show, what a young man he is. He said by the end of the week he'll be picking the Steelers to win by like 30 points. That's what being a fan is.
I didn't say 30 points. I said I might pick them to win come Friday.
That's 30 points.
That's 30
by 30 points.
Right.
Yeah. Thank you, Jeff. Awesome as always. Talk to you on Thursday.
Thanks, Jeff.
All right. See you, boys.
Jeff Hathorn. All right. Coming up next, let's have the Pickens conversation because I said a lot of things yesterday, and I'd like you to say a lot of things when we come back. How's he going to play in this game? How's he going to get his head right for the game? And then we'll talk about where things go from there.
There's a camera shot of George being held back. Exchanging words with a fan, holding him back. Is that a player in the heat of the moment, being frustrated, or does that speak to a little bit more of a discipline issue?
I have no idea what you're referring to, so that's news to me. So I'd be speculating if I commented on it in any way.
While we were out, I vacuumed over a cat turd.
Ooh.
Which, you know how vacuums work. The air's going to shoot out from the other side of the vacuum.
Oh.
So then I'm vacuuming the rest of the house, and it smells like cat turd everywhere. And my wife, a couple days later, when she went to vacuum, goes, "Did you vacuum over a turd?" I said, "No, I don't know what you're talking about. Must have been you. Maybe your mom used the vacuum. Wasn't me." It didn't benefit me to admit to my mistake.
Mm-hmm.
So I lied. And then I eventually admitted to it. after she called me to the carpet. Point being, Tomlin did not need to say that he saw the Pickens stuff. It does the team no good. None. It does George Pickens no good for Mike Tomlin to comment on that. So you can either admit it and then try to defend it, or you can just say you didn't see it. So I have no problem with Tomlin lying there. He did lie.
Yes.
I got no problem with that. I have a problem with it happening after the whole Alan Saunders thing. And then you're sort of thinking, at least I know I was, last year when all the nonsense was going on with Pickens, he comes out against Cincinnati, 4 catches, 175 yards, 2 touchdowns, and you're going, damn, that's a number one wide receiver. And I was hoping that all of that would fuel him and he would turn in one of the better performances of the year. No, it was the opposite.
The opposite, yeah.
Yeah, 6 targets, 1 catch, 0 yards, 3 drops. Is he in the tank now, Doran? Like, what can he do? What can they do to get him right? Because if he ain't right, you ain't winning this week. You might not even if he is right, but you sure need that guy to be on the moving train.
It's so odd because even like Jeff, and from what I've heard, you know, in practice, he's locked in. And it's hard to get a read on a guy that is locked in. You could tell things in practice, right? Practice shows you a lot of about a player, about your team, about your offense, about your defense. But if a guy is practicing hard and doing all the things right in practice, and then he gets in the games and then he starts going haywire, it's a tough read. It's a tough read because you don't know how you don't know which guy you're going to get every single week. So I think that their best case scenario with George is to hope that George shows up. Honestly, I don't think there's anything they can really do. Can't force feed him the ball because then you're getting outside of your game plan, even though he's a part of that game plan of actually getting him targets because you know that's your best route to winning. But you can't keep him happy. This is a different ball game. This is a different you know thing that you're dealing with now. This is the playoffs. You're one and done. It's a different season. So I think that all they can do is hope that George shows up Saturday. That's all you can do.
And I have no idea whether it's going to happen or not.
And it's crazy that you even have to think about that with an NFL player.
Well, that's what makes it easy for me. He's gone. That's it. See ya. I can't even do what I wanted to do before, which is not pay him and then make him sing for his supper. I don't want that guy around next year. I don't know that playing for a contract is going to make any of this stuff go away. I think it might exacerbate it. Now you've got the Baltimore Ravens on social media, some of their guys calling them soft. They know the game.
Mm-hmm.
This is exactly what you suggested the Bengals do Browns. Before and the Browns do before because of Greg Newsome and how that went the first time. Try to get under the guy's skin. You used to be able to do it with the Penguins back in 11, 12, 13. How do you beat Sidney Crosby of Guinea Malk and get them off their game? Get in their face. We saw it with Boston. We saw it with Philadelphia. That was the game plan back then. We saw it with the Rangers. You want to stop George Pickens? It's not so much about X's and O's. It's about just getting in that guy's head. You're playing shrink with him.
He'll stop himself.
Yes.
And then the whole offense is done.
Right. Because Van Jefferson ain't getting open.
No. He's not going to. Van Jefferson is not beating you.
No.
Pat Freiermuth, we love him. He's not beating you if you're the Baltimore Ravens. So who's the threat? There's one threat, and if George is A-plus George, yeah, he could be a threat, and they could have a good chance in this game. But if he's C, D, all up in his head.
And he was a Z, by the way.
He was a Z.
On Saturday.
Yeah.
That's one of the worst games I've ever seen from a quote-unquote number one wide receiver. And I don't want this to get lost in it either, because we just went through the names. There's no explosion. Well, one guy is a make-you-miss, can-go-the-distance guy, and he had a terrible game, too, and that's Calvin Austin III.
Mm-hmm.
No catches, no yards, had the fumble on the punt return, which was massive in this game. Like, you need more from him, too. But part of that is George needs to be the threat. If George is going to be a threat, then that can allow Calvin Austin some room to work underneath. But George wasn't a threat. Do you bring him back?
Oh, man. Yeah. So, and pair him with somebody else. Make him a number two. Try to go get T. Higgins, a number one receiver. Draft a receiver. You know, get everybody around him and say, like, listen, you could be a part of this or you can pout and then we'll see you later after the season. But I bring him back just because I know that in my mind he wouldn't be the number one guy.
I don't know how he'd handle that.
Oh, well, then, don't handle it then because I would bring in so many reinforcements at that position where He could either be the number two or he could be the number three. And if you handle it like your number three, we'll treat you like a number three. If you handle it like a number one, we'll treat you like a 1A or a two. So
my,
you don't have to pay him next year.
I don't think they want to pay him.
No. I mean, you don't have to pay him this coming season, right?
Right.
So
final year of his rookie contract.
Yeah.
My ideal scenario this offseason, trade him. Maybe get a second-round pick. Maybe. Probably more in that third range. You'd like it to be an early third-round pick. So you get extra draft capital. Then I'm throwing a bazillion dollars at T. Higgins. And then I'm drafting a wide receiver round one.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm upgrading Higgins better than Pickens and less of a jackass, or at least more mature. And then getting a guy in the first round, Brian Thomas Jr., you said it last year, draft that guy. He had a hell of a season. And the Steelers get nothing from their first-round pick. That's not the Steelers' fault. That's not his fault. But where would this team be if they had a Brian Thomas Jr. right now?
Brian Thomas Jr. had 1,250 yards receiving, 10 touchdowns on 82 receptions.
He's better than George Pickens.
Yeah.
He's better than that guy. And if you had him and Pickens is your two, and you're not paying either of them because they're both on rookie deals, it makes this offseason, you could pay Pickens if you wanted to. Because you don't have to pay the other guy for a little while. So that's what I'm trying to do this offseason. But I have no idea what Pickens you're going to get in this playoff game. And that's why I can't bring him back. Because when you talk about the number one, the elites of the elites, they don't have Deontay Johnson numbers, like Jeff said in the last segment. No, you know what you're getting with them every single week. And you just don't know that with George Pickens. You can give us a call like Rich, who we'll get to coming up in the next segment, and others on that fan hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh Trusted Plumbing, an HVAC provider for over 50 years. Ben Roethlisberger has picked the Ravens to beat the Steelers, and a part of me died inside. He also said about this game, quote, "I think the mindset is not in there right now, but I would imagine the mindset is it doesn't matter what we've done. We literally are going into this one with a zero-win, zero-loss record, just like everybody else. And the other little mindset that I'd guess in the locker room that they've talked and probably thought about is we're playing an opponent that we know that up until one game this year, the last times we played them, we've had their number. That's got to bring a little confidence to the building, to the room down there on the south side. We're about to play a divisional game. We know them. They know us. Let's go kick their butt." You buy that?
Kind of.
In a way, then, if that's how they're feeling, maybe this is the team they should want to play, the Ravens. They know them. Wait. They know us. We know them. We beat them 8 out of 10 times. We beat them all the time down in Baltimore. I mean, that makes sense. Vegas ain't seeing it that way.
No.
Vegas says, okay, 10 points. We'll spot you 10 flipping points. But do you think Ravens fans, to get into their heads, do you think they're a little scared right now? I think I would be.
Yeah, I think that the last team that you want to see to start the playoffs is the Pittsburgh Steelers, knowing exactly what you've been saying for a long time now, is that the Steelers somewhat have the Ravens' number and Mike Tomlin can get into Harbaugh's head, if anybody. You know, if Mike Tomlin can get into anybody's head, it's Harbaugh, and especially Lamar Jackson, too. So, a third time in a season, if the weather is what it's going to be, I don't know if the Steelers, if the Ravens really want to see the Steelers in a matchup like that, Ravens fans, because they could play spoiler, and you know, it's more than just a playoff game on Saturday. It is. It's all. It's the Ravens. It's a rivalry game. So, I think that Ravens fans are like,
they got to be quaking in their boots a little bit here.
I'd rather see the Texans or whoever else, the Chargers or whatever.
I think you can make an argument that any team in football that's still playing, if they could pick the team they play, they would all pick the Pittsburgh Steelers, except for Baltimore.
Yep.
Baltimore would take not just about anybody else. They're not signing up to play the Lions. But among the Tampas of the world in L.A. and Denver and Houston and Pittsburgh, I think every team in football would take the Steelers as their number one opponent, except for Baltimore. I think they'd rather play all those other teams.
You're right.
That doesn't mean that the Ravens are going to lose, but he's still, Lamar, 2-5 against Pittsburgh. And he's got the whole playoff bugaboo. He's 2-4 in the postseason, as beloved, and we know he is, as Lamar Jackson is in Baltimore. He hadn't got over the hump. And last year, when you think it's the year, they put up, what, 10 points in the AFC Championship game at home?
Mm-hmm.
So their whole season has been about getting to this moment. And I know Lamar was sick and tired of hearing about all the Pittsburgh stuff before they played the last time. Was that performance enough to say, okay, we got over that hurdle? I don't know. I don't think they played all that great. I think Russ lost the game more than Lamar kicked his Steelers kryptonite.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he still threw an interception to a guy who I didn't know was allowed to catch the ball anymore and Minkah Fitzpatrick.
Right.
So like, he still gave the Steelers the football. I don't know if that's gone. I ain't a football player. Do you think he's kicked that?
I don't think he even thinks about it. I think he thinks about bigger, which could be a problem as well. I think that they don't even think about the Steelers. I don't think the players think about the Steelers. I think John Harbaugh does, and the fans do down there. I don't think Lamar is like, I can't wait to get to the AFC Championship game against the Chiefs again. I think that's all he's thinking, and I think he's getting Derrick Henry and some of the newer guys on that same page. Like, we need to get back to the AFC Championship game.
You think that's the right mindset?
No, not necessarily. But if you were there last year and you're that close and you smelled it and you had a chip on your shoulder, which he has all season long, and it's proven in his production, I can see why he would think that way, because it's like, we need to win that game. That's the game. So I don't know if the players are thinking about the Steelers, honestly.
We've seen that before too.
Yeah.
I think the Steelers, when they lost to the Jags in 2017, they really lost to the Patriots.
Yes. They're overlooking.
Yes. And I'm hoping that's the case here. Lamar's playoff numbers aren't good. Like, we talked about Josh Allen earlier and how there's pressure on him. He could win the MVP this year, and he's still trying to get that vaunted Super Bowl. Yep. He played a great game against New England in a divisional round that his coach screwed up for him with 13 seconds left, Sean McVay. Lamar just out and out hadn't been good in the playoffs. He got a 75 quarterback rating. He played six games. He's 2-4. He's been sacked 26 times in those games. He's thrown a bunch of picks. Like, I don't know what it is. And maybe it's not all him. The numbers point to it being him not being up to it. Is it team-wide? He hasn't done it with Derrick Henry before, so that should help. I want to get excited about all that, but the reason I can't is because if you talk about all their playoff failures, you can't ignore Mike Tomlin's and the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Exactly. The game's going to come down to who outthinks themselves more. That's what it's going to come down to.
And I think over the course of this four-game losing streak, there's been a ton of Tomlin outthinking himself.
A ton of it.
A ton.
But over the history of Harbaugh, Ravens, Tomlin, Steelers, Ravens usually outthink themselves.
Yeah, what is it? Tomlin 21-16 against Harbaugh. And that doesn't seem like a huge advantage, but in games that always come down more often than not to a possession, coaching decisions factor in big time.
Mm-hmm.
Every game's one score, mm-hmm. save for the last one.
Think about the two-point conversion at home. I mean, what was that play? I mean, I know that Tomlin called a timeout, but, I mean, they had no answer.
No,
that's outthinking yourself.
Literally, what was that play?
They're outthinking themselves.
Yeah.
I mean, just hand the ball to Derrick Henry or something.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like they're trying to get too cute, and then that's how the Steelers end up winning. If it's a game like that, I like the Steelers to have the best chance.
I would pick the Steelers to lose against any team they were going to play just because of the way they're trending. But all the goofy Raven Harbaugh stuff, it does make you go, The 3-1 against them all time in the playoffs, too. Now, they haven't played in M&T Bank Stadium in the playoffs.
Never.
But all the numbers are on the Steelers' side. And Starkey had a good one yesterday. In the history of Tomlin Harbaugh, you have never seen consecutive games decided by double-digit scoring margin. Not one time in the history. And we just said, that's 37 games. It's a big sample size. Rich in the car, though, wants to talk about Pickens. Hello, Rich.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
Question for you guys. How can you guys say that if George Pickens doesn't bring his A game on Saturday, that we have no chance, and then in that very next breath say, you want him gone? If we get rid of George Pickens and we have no weapons, this is a 3-13 football team.
Well,
We're saying that they'll get weapons if they do get rid of George Pickens.
Yeah. Like,
they needed weapons this season and didn't get weapons.
Correct. But you'll have a ton of money to spend this offseason in a way that I mean, you did last year, but you were trying to get a trade done. You don't need to trade for T. Higgins. You can just throw him the bag. Like, I fired Mike Tomlin yesterday, Rich, but I wasn't just saying that the team was going to go coachless next year. Like, you're going to have a plan to replace the guy. Draft a guy, sign a guy. I don't think it's that hard.
And in the grand scheme of things, I mean, he's unhappy, but like A.J. Brown with the Eagles, he was complaining all last season. Did they run him out of town?
Does he show up Tyree every Taylor single
just
week?
Quit on his team and told the media he's gone. Did everyone quit on him? Like, it could be a lot worse. And you guys love running good players out of town. Thanks for taking my call.
Hey, Rich, was he a good player on Saturday? He hung up. Yeah, he doesn't want to have the conversation.
Right. And I mean, the A.J. Brown comparison is horrible.
Every goofball last week that was defending George Pickens from the terrible journalist Alan Saunders, where are you now on him? Because he didn't show up. Three balls clang off his hands. If Russ throws the world's most perfect football to him streaking down the sideline at the end of the game, I'm not 100% sure he catches the ball. There's no one within 6 yards of him. If it hits him between the 1 and the 8, I'm not... Is he wearing a 14? If he's Lime is Sweet out there on Saturday wearing a 14. If that ball hits him in the chest, in stride, I can't say with any semblance of confidence he catches the ball. A.J. Brown's catching the ball. We're seriously comparing George Pickens to A.J. Brown? Their attitudes may well be the same. But if it's a big-time game...
A.J. Brown is coming through.
I'm throwing him the ball and I'm not thinking twice about it, for God's sakes. Like, George is a problem off the field. He's also a problem on the field with the penalty stuff. He's getting sat down, benched, quote-unquote load management. And then in this game, in the second half, you need him. He doesn't come through. How is anybody sticking up for this guy today? Yeah, you need him to play well this week because of roster construction. I'm saying you need to construct the roster different next year. Do we make that clear? Is it clear now?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man, I got a different clock on my computer than the one we got in the studio. And then the big clock that we have up above us on our left is not working anymore. I don't know what time it is. All right. We'll take more calls coming up next. If you want to defend George Pickens, feel free. We'll probably yell at you. But how could you possibly defend this guy? Oh, what a tune. 50-minute mark on the fan brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19 in Peters Township. You can just let that ride a little bit. Just let it ride. We do at some point going to start getting excited for the playoff game, Dorn.
Uh-huh.
It just doesn't feel like it used to. It used to be this giant party for a week, and there'd be no better place to be than doing a morning show. We'd be bumping tunes. We'd be getting jacked.
Well, they would have some type of momentum heading into the playoffs that would have us excited, and what we saw on Saturday, it just wasn't – it was blah. So it's like, all right, so what team are we going to get? Like, this team hasn't played well in a while.
I think Tomlin is going to try to play it the same way again, because I think in his mind he's thinking, if Russ hits George on a play that 9 times out of 10 he hits him on, we win the game by 1 point because we're going to kick a field goal there at the end. Hey, we had him right where we wanted to. We're going to outlast the Bengals, and we just didn't make plays at the end. I think that's how he thinks.
Mm-hmm.
Which is why we can't get super excited about it. And now we got people on the text line making excuses for Pickens. You're going to love this one. It's a good one. Pickens obviously doesn't do well in 17-degree weather. Everyone struggles in the freezing cold.
Mm.
I know that Chase had one go through his hands on a play that I think was more difficult than any of the three drops that Pickens had. He played pretty well other than that. T. Higgins out there, all banged up, played pretty well other than that.
Yeah, Jamar Chase, he had one go through his hands, you said?
Yeah.
Yeah, he had 10 catches. 96 yards.
Well, he must have played someplace cold in college, right?
Oh, yeah.
Jamar Chase.
Right, yeah, Louisiana.
It's ridiculous.
Mm.
Texas, same guy. Weather's going to be much better on Saturday in Baltimore. Light snow, then a high of 38. That'll do it.
I mean.
We're soft. We're soft anymore. As a tan.
Like the weather.
It's cold out there. Poor George. Why are you guys running him out of town? I'm watching the highlights showing him right now on ESPN. Catch the damn ball.
Incredible.
That's what they're supposed to do, wide receivers.
Yes.
Catch
the
ball.
Yes, it is. You shouldn't have to make excuses for a professional. I'm sorry.
No.
Nope. That's where I think it's getting lost on people.
Well, and he makes them for himself, too, because he did it after the Browns game. Hey, we beat them if the weather's good. That's pretty much what he said. Okay. You're playing in AFC North, buddy. Where do you think you're going to go in the playoffs? You don't go to Houston. So Baltimore, where there could be snow, and then Kansas City. Unless there's a miracle, and then you accidentally go to Buffalo, where there's going to be bad weather. There's going to be good weather until you play in the Superdome. And guess what? You ain't going to play there. Speaking of the Superdome, David in his Mercedes-Benz. That's what he says. Hi, David.
Good morning.
What up?
So you were saying, you know, what gives us our best chances? I want to know why we can't put our best team on the field. Why not put Pickens and Mike Williams on the field together? Never happens. Dual threat. They don't know which one to cover or which one to put a double on. You know, why not put Najee and Jalen in the backfield? Why not, in fact, put Justin Fields? If you need a yard, put Justin, Jalen, and Najee in.
So I agree in a lot of what you're saying there, David. And do you actually have a Mercedes? You actually driving a Mercedes, or you just want people to think you're wealthy?
I'm rolling up 79 right now. Nice.
All right, see you. If you tell people you're driving a Mercedes, you're kind of just a douche.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
He made some good points. I don't know if you need Fields and Warren and all these guys on the field at the same time, but yeah. Having Mike Williams on the outside and Pickens on the outside of the other side, that might be something.
Yeah, I mean, it's a lot harder, though. I mean, easier said than done because, I mean, they're both ex-receivers. And where, you know, Mike Williams is at, he's honestly just learning probably one receiver spot. People think that all the receiver spots are the same, so you can't just move George to Z because George probably doesn't know Z, and Mike Williams doesn't know Z. They're both ex-receivers. You can't put them on the field at the same time unless you're just playing backyard football and throwing the ball up to them.
Well, maybe do that.
Yeah.
That's all they seem to do anyway. You check down or throw it long.
I would get funky with it. Like, I would put Jalen, Najee, and Justin Fields in. Like, I'm throwing all my card, all my chips in the table. I'm pushing them all in, man. Like, I'm getting as creative can be because we have to get through this round. We have to win a playoff game.
I said yesterday I'm starting Justin Fields in this game, and somebody texted in and said, God, we missed Doran. I said, what if Doran agrees? What if Doran thinks that the Steelers should start Justin Fields? Do you?
No.
Oh. We'll get to that coming up at 8:20. We got Jason Mackey joining us next. If you're on hold, we'll get to you at some point, or you could always call back at 412-928-9370. A lot to get into with Mackey, including 10-7 last year, 10-7 this year. Has there been any progress? We'll lead things off with Mackey with that question. That's next, Fan Morning Show.